Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yep, cool. So everybody come in. There's a few spare seats over here if you're standing up at the back. Otherwise, we've got a pretty full house, so bunch together. We're here to talk about what's new in System Center Config Manager and Current Branch with Intune. So I'm assuming most people use Config Manager today in the room. Can I get a show of hands how many Config Manager guys we have here? Pretty much everybody. How about Intune? How many people here use Intune? Not so many. We've got about a third to a quarter. So that's you're going to be in for a treat around the Intune stuff. There's some major changes that have come through there. So let me start off by introducing who I am and why I'm up here. So my name's Steve Hosking, and I work for Vigilant IT. You can find me on Twitter. That's not there. I'm at on-prem cloud guy. You can tweet me, email me, find me. I work in SCCM primarily. I've been there for 15 odd years since SMS 03, and I've been spending all my time doing this now. So the agenda today is what's new, what's disappeared, and the licensing changes for Current Branch and Long-Term Servicing Branch for SCCM, as well as what's new and what's disappeared in Intune. We also got a couple of demos in there about how we use Intune, how we use Config Manager, but they're going to be high level for Config Manager, and we're going into PowerShell for Intune, the scary PowerShells. So let's step into what SCCM is today. So today we have new features that are getting greenlit every 3 months. So how many people here keep their SCCM Current Branch up to date? So have the latest, greatest build in. How many people are still on 2012 R2? Okay, so those of you that aren't on the latest and greatest Current Branch, why aren't you? Is it because you can't get the change through work? Is it because you're waiting to see if there's problems? There is no reason to wait. It's fully tested, it's robust, and it works. You get the new features like Windows 10 servicing. Windows 10 is fantastic around the servicing model. It's the same scenario you get with Config Manager where you deploy it out. With the new servicing solution in Config Manager, you get the nice pie graphs to go, oh, look, you have X number of Current Branch, you have X number of versions of Windows 10, and it will tell you, you need to update them, you need to do this. It's really, really powerful, and it's easy. You go create collections saying, go and update this, and it will update it for you. We then also have the client online status. We've all been there where we've had managers go and yell and scream at us, go, we need this application installed right now. How many computers can you hit? As many that are turned on. We don't know because we couldn't see. With SCCM 1602 Current Branch, we get the ability to see if those computers are turned on. And what that means by checking to see if they're turned on is the computers call home every 5 or so minutes to say, I'm online, I'm available. And you get a little green tick next to the computer name. So when you're doing a deployment, you can literally open your collection up and go, oh, look, we have all of these computers online. We know we're going to get that application installed on X number of computers. Or if you want to test the deployment, you can do that as well, and you can have that validation to know that you're hitting all of those computers on evaluating the deployment. We also have the health attestation. This is a great solution in saying, we know that we have UEFI turned on, we know that we have BitLocker turned on, we know all of the components that sit around the Windows 10 health attestation is turned on and validated green from our SCCM console. We don't need to create extensions, we don't need to do additional reporting or anything. It's there in the UI and it will tell you straight away. So then we've also got the OMS connector. So how many people here are cloud aware and using OMS for monitoring and tracking their environment? Not many. What I would recommend is going and using the OMS connector. That gives you the ability to see all of the information about your environment, what's going on, how it's actually used. It also gives you the upgrade advisor, which we'll go into in a minute. So We also have the Windows Updates agent, right? So we've had issues in the past. Obviously, everybody's had that event where computers randomly reboot, or more to the point, your computers, your sales guys have been out on the road, your computers come back in, and literally in the first 2 hours, every update gets installed on their computer, and then they have to reboot, and they're sitting there and screaming because I'm in a meeting, I need to not have my computer restart. You now have some better handling for that client restart for the pending updates, along with application deployment delays. So you can sit there and say, hold off, the computer's just come up, wait X number of hours, days before you go and install it. Windows Hello for Business. While this is a small market today, this is going to grow. This is the ability to manage how your users sign on to the computer. This is how you manage your passports. It's going to be a big thing in the future. Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection. How many people use Windows Defender today? Not that many. It's a growing product. It's really robust, and I do highly recommend, if you've got Config Manager, going and deploying it. It makes your life easier. Threat Protection gives you that additional information, additional policies around how your devices are being managed. From there, we also have the Office 365 servicing. So before this came in, did you realize when you deployed Office 365 Click to Run in your environment, every one of your computers was going out to the internet and downloading that update? So with this feature that they've brought in with 1602 and then 1606, where it was improved, and then in 1610, we got a new dashboard that gives us the visibility. We can control how our updates for Office 365 are managed via SCCM in a centralized manner through WSUS. This is going to make your life a lot easier. You can select, is it current branch? Is it current branch deferred? Is it deferred? You can get any permutation and manage that as you require. I even read today there is the ability to change the version of Office 365 easily on the computers now. You just send out a reg key and it goes, oh, you're now this version. It's making your life easier. Cloud Management Gateway. So how many people here manage computers out on the internet, be it BYOD, be it anything like that? We've got about 10, 15. I know in my experience, internet-based client management has been an adventure. You have to understand certificates. You need to know how to have your devices connecting in. Cloud Management Gateway takes that process and pushes it up into Azure for you. So you no longer need to manage your DMZ servers. All that needs to happen is you deploy your Cloud Management Gateway, your clients come onto the network, and they sign on, they get the new policy, and they can use the new Management Gateway. That's it. That is that simple. It is going to make your life easier. So grace periods with deployments. This is what I was referring to earlier, where you have the ability to have that grace period to say, all right, the computer's been off while all of these applications, updates have been deployed. We're going to wait for this period of time, once they've come on, before we're going to go off and install these updates or etc. This makes your life easier. You don't have the CEO, the managing director, coming in and yelling at you because you had to deploy these 20 gig of applications to his computer and he can't access it. It's going to make your life easier. We also have the MDM advancements. So this is the cool stuff around. You can now see in the UI the IMEI numbers, the serial numbers for your iOS devices, and you have extended compliance and management for the hybrid MDM solutions from Intune. It makes your life easier. So this is a very, very high-level overview of what is new in SCCM today. There are other features that have come through, but there's also features that are coming through. How many people have seen Tech Preview, installed it, played with it? Not many at all. Why hasn't anybody else? It is by far the best solution you can get into and see what's coming in for your roadmap, prepare your change requests, prepare how you're going to continue managing your environments. This is where we can see what is coming through the pipeline from Microsoft. And this is where we can say, this is what could be coming. Because it might be coming today, it might be coming in 3 months, it might take 12 months. But this is where we can see, or it might not come at all. Let's put that out there. But this is where we can see what Microsoft Product Group are working on around the Config Manager product. So I know, me personally, the data warehouse is going to be something that's going to make my life a lot easier. I do historical reporting. I can now, rather than having to pull the data out, put it into my reporting services, my reporting database, it's all just part of SCCM. It will go and create that data warehouse for you. You tell it what you want to archive as well. The postpone installation if program is running. How many people have attempted to do an Office upgrade via an application deployment, sent it out there, it started installing, and then all of a sudden, oh yeah, I've got to close every version, every Office application that's currently open for the user. So Outlook, Word, and Skype for Business all just disappear for the user. And I've just lost them, all their unsaved emails, all their unsaved Word documents because they haven't saved it. And then you get the phone calls going, you've just killed my environment. Oh my God. This is going to give you the ability to say, check to see if this executable is running. If it's running, postpone it. Don't install it. It's going to make life easier. And then we also have, which ties into the data warehouse, the OData endpoint. This is where you have the ability to query your SCCM environment without using the WMI provider or SQL. You can go off and use the OData and pull that information into your application, your management solution. You could even put it into your CMDB or your ticketing system, so long as you know how to access that OData endpoint. We also are bringing in the Azure AD support. So today we have the ability to scan and sync across your on-premises Azure, on-premises Active Directory environment, whether it be a computer or whether it be a user object. In Tech Preview at the moment, we have Azure Active Directory support. This is where you can go and connect it to your Azure AD environment and query all of that information for you. So it makes your device management for hybrid MDM a lot easier. It makes the ability to find all of those devices that have registered through Azure Active Directory and pull them into your SCCM environment as well. And then the cool one that I see is UEFI inventory. This is where you can query the motherboard and find out how that device has been configured. So if somebody goes and plays around and changes your UEFI settings, you can see that without having to write a custom solution around that. It's just out of the box. Obviously, all of the stuff that you see here have come from suggestions via the user voice page, which I highly recommend going to. But with as I stated earlier, all of this stuff, this is what could be coming. There is no guarantee it's going to be anytime soon, or it might be out tomorrow. So this is more what is in the pipeline and what we have seen. So let's step into what's disappeared from SCCM when we went from SCCM 2012 R2 to current branch. So this is for the people who are still running 2012. If you're using the AMT out-of-band management, it doesn't come across to current branch. If you have it installed, you need to remove it because when you do the upgrade, it won't work. The reason for this is Intel has changed the versions constantly for the AMT technology, and to maintain that, they have their own plugin for Config Manager. So you now can use the Intel solution that plugs into SCCM to manage your out-of-band management on the AMT layer. We've also lost network access protection. So how many people went through the adventure of setting up NAP on their own environment where they've had to make sure that it's VLAN and so forth? We've got like one, maybe two people. That's not a surprise. It's one of these ones that's very complicated to set up. It's like Cisco ICE where you sit there and say, I'm only going to allow you on if you have these updates and these applications installed. The reason why it was deprecated from SCCM is the underlying technology that it utilizes has been deprecated in the operating system. So with Windows Server 2016, it didn't come across. It is not there after 2012 R2. We've also removed the new VHD and managed VHD in OS. This hasn't happened today, so it is still in existence in current branch, but it is going to disappear in June 2017. The other one is the old software center. So this is the software center that allows you to install applications that have been deployed to the computer object only. This isn't where you have the user-based application installation. If you're running current branch, I highly recommend using the new software center. This gives you the ability to better manage your user applications deployment, your Windows updates, your OS deployments. All it is inside your client settings is you change a checkbox to use the new software center. Highly recommend it. It has been announced, but it hasn't been confirmed when the existing software center is going to be removed. So let's step onto a demo of what we've got today being, or previously have had, being SCCM 2012. So we're actually going to keep it very, very simple in here. What we're going to look at is how little stuff we have. So this is a native SCCM 2012 installation. And you can see here, if we go to endpoint protection, we don't have much. And my computer's running a bit slow. And you'll see here that we don't have much stuff in here. But now if we step across to current branch, and my computer has gone, you'll see we now have more options under that overview. We have the ability to see the corporate-owned devices and manage your iOS and your Windows. I do apologize, it is a bit small, but I swear that under here we have all of this information. But as a visual representation, you can see that we have so many more options sitting under here. This is the Windows 10 servicing. So you can see in our environment, this is our live data. We have only 30-odd computers, but you can see that we've got three different versions. This other, if you see that in your environment, it means that it's a tech preview. Somebody is running the preview version of Windows 10 in your environment. I don't recommend it. But anyway, you'll also see your servicing branches and how they work. You can drill into that and find out more information about the servicing. We also have more features under the cloud services. So we can have the ability to connect in your Intune subscriptions, your cloud management gateways, and all of the OMS connectors and upgrade analytics. I'm not going to go into them today because they have our personal data in there and we can't hide them. But one of the big things to flag here is the update servicing. So this is where we have the ability to go and select the next version of SCCM and install it on our environment. And it is as simple as right-clicking and going upgrade. So if I go here and go right-click and install update package, it will go through a wizard. And this is as simple as it is to upgrade your SCCM environment once you are on current branch. It is that simple. There is no reason not to. So we're going to close out of that. And you'll see how all of that is very simple, and you can do the prereq checks first. What we're now going to look at is the technical preview portal, or console. And you'll note here that we have an additional What's New option on the left-hand side in the Wonder Bar. That gives us a visibility of all of these scenarios that the product group want validated in that technical preview environment. They want you to go and set up a cloud management gateway. They want you to test out the application approval request process. These are how Microsoft are validating their solutions to make them better before they go to the wide public. So let's step out of SCCM and we're going to step into Intune. We're not actually. We're going to have a quick talk about what OSs are not supported. So Windows XP is not supported in current branch. It is very important to stress that. If you have, for whatever reason, XP or 2003, it won't work with current branch. It is an incentive and a stick for your customers to move to the newer OSs. Vista is the same. Windows XP Embedded is going to be deprecated in the next release of current branch. We also have requirements for site servers. You need to be running server 2012 R2, not 2012, 2012 R2, as your OS for your site systems that are running every role other than distribution points. The reason why is after 1606, SCCM will not install. There is a supported upgrade process from 2012 R2 to 2008 R2 to 2012 R2. Completely supported, completely documented. Don't do the 2012 to 2012 R2 upgrade. It is painful and buggy, and I highly don't recommend it. We had a week of outages trying to get that process updated, and it's just not recommended. The distribution points, on the other hand, if the OS is supported, distribution points will work on there. It will just continue on like a file share. So then let's step on to the long-term servicing branch. So how many people have an active SA or software assurance with their config manager environment? The rest of you need to get one so you can use current branch. This is the big takeaway for licensing in SCCM. It changed. You need to be running software assurance if you want to manage Windows, if you want to get all of the new features coming out with SCCM feature updates. So if you're on current branch and you want to get all of the updates, go and speak to your SPLA or your LAR or your licensing people, because you need software assurance. If you're running and wanting to run long-term servicing branch, you don't have the ability to get the feature updates from Microsoft. You don't have any cloud services, which includes the Intune, the integration. It includes cloud management points. It includes dish cloud DPs. You have no support for Windows 10 servicing. You also don't have the cloud DPs, as I mentioned. What that means is you are basically sitting on an island. There are very good reasons to run the long-term servicing branch. If you have, say, a server fleet in a secure environment, it makes sense. But if you're planning to manage client OSs, especially Windows 10, make sure you have a software assurance to run current branch, because otherwise you are in a world of pain. You can still do OS deployment for Windows 10 with current branch, or sorry, long-term servicing branch, but not the servicing richness, not all the new features around that. So that's just a word out there around the licensing component. You don't want to get caught out without one. So now we're going to step into Intune. So from earlier, we saw that not many people are running Intune. I assume this is because they've used the previous version of Intune and they've had to play around with Silverlight. How many people here love Silverlight? Nobody. Well, we've got one. Silverlight is one of these products that was great conceptually. It was fantastic. It's just aged not well. So there is a new admin portal in preview at the moment for Microsoft Intune. Not Windows Intune, Microsoft Intune. This is going to be based in the Azure portal. It is fully reactive. It is fantastic. We will be demoing that. It is by far so much easier to use than the Silverlight portal. You don't need to open up Internet Explorer. We also have extended mobile app management policies. This is MAM. This is where you can sit there and manage how your corporate data comes in and out of the devices, as well as you make it so your users can't copy an email or copy the text from an email and paste it into Twitter, Facebook, or their own personal email accounts. All of this without an agent, without enrolling the devices. It sits at the office layer. it makes your life easier for compliance. We also have multi-factor authentication, the big buzzword that was around 10 years ago that's come back around, that everybody's pushing to, where you have your token on your phone, you sit there and you log onto a website and go, oh, I need to authenticate, here's your token. This is supported across all platforms with EMS and Intune, be it Android, Windows Phone, iPhone or Windows OS. You can now restrict your mobile device enrollment by platform. So your corporate policy dictates that you have to have an iPhone for your corporate device. Your colleagues can't go and buy an Android device and just set up their email accounts on there. It just won't work. It's not supported for enrollment of the device. Yes, you can access the MAM data, but it doesn't come under device management. And then we also have Android for Work support. So I don't know anybody here who may have managed Android devices in the past, but there's a new feature called Android for Work from Google. This is, Microsoft has become a part of this program around the Intune process. This is where you have containers for your OS, your corporate applications and your device applications. Two separate copies of the same application on the same device that you have to maintain separately. It works, it's great, but we can manage it with Intune. We also have increased the device enrollment limits. So how many devices can you manage today on Intune? What is the maximum number by default? Anybody? The maximum number is 5. Well, was. Until you go and change it from 5 to 15. That is where you can manage more devices per user. This is making your life easier because everybody has multiple laptops, multiple phones, multiple devices. It is just easier. And then the big, big one that comes out with Intune is the Graph API. So how many Office 365 admins do we have in the room? We've got a couple, right? Who has used Graph API with that? Not many. I highly recommend going and looking at Graph API. It is where you can access all of your Intune data, where you can go and access all of your Office data via a single web API. It is fantastic. It is so powerful. So as part of the demo for Intune, we are going to go through Graph API, and let's step across there now. So first off, let's go to the Graph API web, let's go to Intune in the Azure portal. So this is the preview portal for the Intune console. Note that it's part of Azure. It is literally an option you get on the left-hand side now. You can add it as a default option, as Intune right there. How much easier is that than needing to go and open up Internet Explorer and bring up the Intune console? So you may ask, okay, all of this stuff, can I use it today? Maybe. And what I mean by maybe is your subscriptions are being rolled across from the existing portal to the new portal. Over the next 3 to 6 months, you'll see you'll be able to access all of the information in Intune. I'm lucky enough that this subscription, if you create new ones, you will get all of the new features. So this subscription was created a month ago, and it is set up to use the new Azure Ibiza portal. And you can see all of the information. And from time to time, features will be added. This is Intune. This is Azure. It is going to have features added from time to time. So we can go in here and we can see the devices that we're managing under devices and groups. And these groups, which we'll go through in a minute, are actually the Azure AD groups. These are the same ones. They're all using the Office Graph API. We can go and drill in to the information about these devices. Are they healthy? Are they not healthy? As you can see, my desktop computer, not compliant because I don't let it be compliant. But obviously, we can see all of this information so easily and so quickly. We can go back. And how many people have deployed... have deployed apps to Apple devices by mobile device management platforms, be it Intune or something else? A fair few. How easy is it? You need to know the URL to add it in there. You need to know all of that information. We can go in here under apps in Intune and just go add. Select the app type to a iOS store app. And let's search for an application. So we're going to go Office Lens because Office Lens is fantastic. And we can see it there. All we do is we click OK. We can configure application information. So it already pre-populates all of that information for us. And then we just hit save. And that's adding an iOS application to be deployed. There is Office Lens and ready to go. All we now need to do is literally set the assignment for that application by selecting the group. And that is deployed out to all of my devices. So you'll see here or pop up that I have three security groups and I'm going to select my office workers have the ability to do that. And we hit say, we say what type it is, so it's required. And we're going to hit save. And we've just deployed Office Lens to all our iOS devices that are office workers. How cool is that? How simple is that? And that is the power of Intune. It is giving you that functionality so much easier. So let's step across into accessing information from Intune. So this was where we mentioned Graph API. So I love this quote, one endpoint to rule them all. My inner geek just sits there and goes, that's a Star Wars reference right there. But anyway, one endpoint to rule them all is actually true of what Graph API is. This isn't a Graph API session, this is an Intune session, but Intune's now falling into the Graph API engine. So what you'll see eventually is here, there'll be an Intune or device management option. And you can see we have users, groups, files, mail, notes, contacts, and tasks all there by default today. This is where you can send an email from Graph API and have it sitting in your inbox and outbox via PowerShell, via your applications, via however means you want to. So Graph API is powerful. I can go in here to the Graph Explorer up the top. So all we do is we go to graph.microsoft.com, we select Graph Explorer at the top, and we sign in here, and just hit go. And it will bring up all of the information about the users or whatever object we have selected. So let's make that a little bit bigger for you guys. And you can see all of that information for my user object. But I can go in here, and we'll scroll that out a little, and you can see all of that information. Okay, so is the account enabled? The value is true. This is literally just API calls via a UI. Cool. I'm sure you're looking at me and going, Steve, but this is on a website. How do I do it in my environment? How do I do it with my automation scripts? Well, what we do is we go across to PowerShell, and we have a very simple function here, which is called Connect to Graph API, and it makes your life easier. It goes off and gets all of the information to obtain your token. You can get this from my blog, stephen.hosking.com.au. And from there, all we have is this function here that gets that information. And this is literally on-the-fly programming. This is literally the same information, was the same information. F5. Apologies, my modules didn't load properly. F8. And it's trying to ask me for an email account. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to go in here and we're going to grab literally this same connection and copy it and go across to PowerShell, and we're going to change this web URL to what we're wanting to query. Well, Control-D. And now if we go, not the issues. Well, let's put Steve at night 27. And you'll see I'll now get prompted to authenticate the object. And it's not doing what I need. Stephen. Apologies. And it's not working. Let me just comment out something. Apologies, everybody. Okay. So now I get prompted to log in with my account, which is as ignite. And we put in our password. I apologize, the scaling is appalling. Let's skip that demo. Let's assume, gotta love the live demo, guys. So let's assume that we return the same information using this PowerShell commands to pull that information back. We can then also go in there and find out more information about, say, the devices that we're going to manage in the environment. So rather than doing it in PowerShell, let's do it in the Graph Explorer. So we're going to go and use beta. I put that in as well and it didn't work. It's weird. Actually. Let's try this. Looks like I updated one function but not the other. So let's do this one. Now I'm getting prompted correctly. Thank you. So what we'll see here is we've got now an object called A, and this is our managed devices. So if we go $A, we can see that we have a value, but let's pop that out into more information with an outgrid view. And I apologize if the font's really small. We'll try and make it bigger, but it doesn't. So this is the same devices that you see in the Azure portal. All the same information, but it is now an object in PowerShell. What can we do with an object in PowerShell? The answer is anything that we want. We can go and automate off it. We can go and report off it. We can go and capture the information that we need off it. It is that powerful. So we've gone off, we've got all our devices in the environment, and we can then go and send a command out to add them to a security group, or we can go and add the users to a security group. What we've done so far is we've looked at Gits. But because this is an API, a web API nonetheless, we also have the ability to post, patch, and delete. So we can send JSON files to the Graph API to configure your Intune subscriptions, your Office 365 subscriptions, and fully manage it via the Graph API, rather than sitting there and having to go through the UI 2 million times to set up something for all of your devices or as an integrator on multiple different customer sites. You can script it. If for example, you've gone through and you've set it up once before, you can literally do a git and get your JSON file and then go and change that and update it and post it to the subscription that you want to do that work or that change on. And it is that powerful. And that is what Graph API is. If you want to know more about any of the APIs that sit around Graph API, literally, you can go to documentation on the Graph website and it'll come up and it'll say, cool, this is what Graph API is, all of the components that sit below it. But on the left-hand side, what you'll actually see is all of the information about those API calls. So say, for example, you want to list your users. That there? Let's make it a little bit bigger. That is the command that you run. Literally, you can grab that command and paste it into Graph Explorer, and it'll give you all of the information about your users. So let's just copy that and paste it. And eventually it will pop up and it will show us all of the users on that subscription. It should only have 4 because it's a sample demoing environment. Cool. So that gives us all of the information about the office stuff when we look at the documentation. Yeah. Zoom out. So you'll see all of the office information. We can go and look into OneNote, OneDrive, attachments, Outlook. You can send and receive emails, as I said, via Graph. It's fantastic. But if we go down here under beta reference, all the way down the bottom, we now have Intune. And this is the full API access for Intune. How many people have gone looking for the Intune APIs on the existing portal to find out and query the system for automation? I know I have. I couldn't find any. I'm so excited to find that the Graph API is sitting behind Intune because it makes our life easier. Just so much easier. All right. So, does anybody have any questions around what we've gone over today? Yes. All of the information will still come back and Graph API will still work when it's a hybrid API. Obviously, we've got all of these learning paths around. This one here is the most important one for SCCM and EMS. It is docs.microsoft.com. It is where you're going to find out what is going on in the platform, how it all works. Yes, I can try. I do apologise if it doesn't work. I haven't tested it personally. So if we go here, and I apologise it's not zoomed in. Sorry guys. What I'm going to do quickly... Let's go and put zoom it on there so you guys can see what I'm doing. Yes, indeed. Let's go to there. Okay. Let's go to tech preview. All right. I do apologize. I have not actually set this up myself yet for Azure AD, so I do not know where it is. Does anybody in the room know where the Azure AD integration is in the portal yet? Damn.
In the Edge portal?
No, this is... I No, the answer is no, I can't show you where it is.
Thanks anyway.
I do apologize. I would show you, but I can't see it in my actual UI at the moment. So this tech preview, I will be completely honest, I installed last week very rapidly for this demo. So there are no extensions, there's no configurations that I've put in there. Let's do control. Oop. Let's go back over here. Tech preview. No, not zooming in. So are there any other questions around the tech preview? Yep. Do you have Config Manager in your environment? Then the answer is yes, you should be doing SCCM integrated with Intune. It is a richer experience. You get better control of how you manage your environment. Was that the current branch supports deploying of Server 2016 and Nano? It definitely supports the deployment of Server 2016. Nano Server is supported for WDS. In SCCM, it's not going to configure it completely because of how the deployment engine is different than what the OS deployment. Yes, you can make it deploy it by just restoring the WIM, but by default, it's not going to actually have the standard setup process. Yes. So the question is, how do we lock down Graph API? So you'll see in my PowerShell, I actually have these client IDs and client secrets. If we go to apps.dev.microsoft, we need to create these keys for the environment first. So if I go sign in with my correct account. You'll see that it'll go and redirect and allow me to authenticate and create these APIs as required. So if we go and sign in. Thank you. Yeah, it's multiple accounts are fantastic until you have to present on them. So you'll see here we have an object or an application called PowerShell. Inside that, this is something I've pre-created for the demos, right? And so you'll see here this is the password. You only see that once, but once you've got it there, it allows you to access it. We have these application IDs and the passwords that need to be provided to your application. But inside that, we have the role-based administration that you're going to see in the Azure portal. So for this setup, I have the ability to send, receive mail for my customer or for my users. I have the ability to read mailboxes and calendars. I have the ability to play around with the directory objects. This is fully scalable. You can go and play around and add or remove as required. So you'll see here we have, it's just a checkbox. So if we want to add, read all the contacts in the environment, we just click OK, we hit save, and the next time we run that application, we will have the ability to read the contacts from the Graph API environment. Does that answer your question? Perfect. Anybody else? Yes. So with 1610, the question is, why was the MDM brought on-premises? Yes, so think of it where you have a secure environment where you don't want to have that hybrid scenario or you can't have that hybrid scenario. So you're in a protected environment or you're even at a production site, so where you've got a factory and you're wanting to manage the mobile devices on your floor. They're on a corporate internal Wi-Fi network that they're only manageable via an MDM environment. You don't want them going out to the internet. You don't want them to be able to access it. So this is where having that on-premises MDM comes in power. It makes your work environment work securely. That's right. Just for Windows 10. Thank you. Windows 10 team. Never heard of it. Yes. The answer is yes. The guys behind you will be able to answer your question for you. anybody else have any questions for us? Yep. So the question was, does Intune support containerized emails? Technically, yes, because it's got Android for Work. So you have the ability to drop that Android for Work application on there, and at the device layer, it is containerized. Or be it Knox, be it Android for Work. Does that answer your question? Not... Any other questions? No? Cool. All right. So we're going to go back over here. And as I said, make sure you go to docs.microsoft.com. This is where you're going to learn about what's coming out, what's been out, and how to use the technology. This is a very important website for EMS. And I went the wrong way. Obviously, please fill out your session evaluations. This is... That's a very good question. On the website. It's always on the website. Always on the Microsoft Ignite website, and it will allow you to sit there and validate, complete it, and then you might get the chance to have a pilot pass for the drones tomorrow at the party. So obviously, as I said up the front, to find me, I'm on-prem cloud guy, and I will be down in the speaker lounge today if you're wanting to find me, or if you see me at the event, just grab me and we can go through any question that you have. Thank you very much, guys.